And Paul, so tell me, why was Charlotte involved in this? Like, this is a farce, and it's just been proven, thankfully. Like, what a waste of time. Indiana has to play last night against Toronto. Now they have to play a play-in game tonight, where, and they're a 9-seed team, and they're absolutely crushing the 10-seed.
It's just a travesty, Jason. It's ridiculous. Like, when I'm looking at a bracket right now, Boston's 7th, Washington's 8th. They should just be in the playoffs. And why in the world, if you're going to do this, and it's as stupid as we both know it is, why would you have the 9th and the 10th seed playing off, so a team that would never make the playoffs automatically goes in and plays against the number 1 seed? I agree with you. It's ridiculous. You know, you should have Washington squaring off against Philadelphia. They earned that right to play the number 1 seed, but instead they've got to play their way in. It makes no sense. And the Boston and Washington, the Lakers and Golden State Warriors don't deserve this kind of start to the playoffs at all.
No, I know. I'm not a fan of it. But they're going to have to play. So, hey, what about Washington, man? Like, they've been red hot as of late. Like, I know they come in as the number 8 seed, but, like, there may be the favorite tonight against Boston. They've been unbelievable lately.
They have been. And it's due to the great sustained play of Bradley Beal, who's just developed into the player we always, I think, thought he might become, and he has become that player. I remember years ago when DeMar DeRozan was with the Raptors, and there was a poll question, or there was a question, who would you trade DeRozan for? Because at that time, there were rumors that they were going to trade pretty much straight up Beal, DeRozan for Beal. And I said, I do that trade 100 times out of 100, because that guy can play and he can really shoot. And then, but what really has made Washington, I think, transform themselves into the hot team that they are is the stellar, unbelievable play of Russell Westbrook. The guy's been out. I mean, he has real triple doubles going now of rebounds, great assists, and he's been scoring efficiently, which has always been the big knock on Westbrook. But boy, is he settled into being the great player again that we know he could be, but oftentimes wasn't.
And then you have the Lakers and Golden State. And I will say, I think it's kind of a farce. Like, the Lakers are 12 games over 500, right? They have the exact same record as Dallas and Portland at 42 wins, but they kind of, due to tiebreakers, they end up in seventh place. And even Golden State, like, neither one of those teams should be playing, but they are. And now one of them, whoever loses, is going to have to play that extra, you know, is going to have to play another game just to stay in. Who do you like right now based on how these teams are playing? Because they're actually the two hottest teams in the NBA right now. The Warriors have won 6 in a row. The Lakers have won 5.
Well, I think you have to favor the Lakers just because of history now. They've found their groove again. They're the defending champion. You've got the great LeBron James, who is always finding a new way to be motivated, leading. I have to say, though, Jason, in the last couple of times I've had the privilege of being on your show, you and I have both raved about the great play of Steph Curry. So in terms of sentimental favorite, no question who I want to win, and that would be Golden State. But I think you have to favor the Lakers because they bring that championship pedigree with them.
Oh, well, yeah, they got a better talent pool. But I will say a player maybe we haven't talked about a lot, Paul, as Paul Sir joins us, is Andrew Wiggins. Like, Andrew Wiggins has kind of emerged finally as the player many people would hope he could be, and he's done it without Klay Thompson. Like, what do you see about his fit, and what have you seen as improvements in his game this season in Golden State?
I think you hit the key word, Jason, and that's fit. It's the right fit for him. Steph Curry, you talk about Andrew Wiggins being able to play in the shadows and just do what he can do, because the spotlight is shining brightly on Steph Curry every second of every game. So whatever Wiggins does, you don't hear about until everybody's been absolutely drooling over the play of Steph Curry. So what a perfect situation for a quiet, somewhat shy person and player like Wiggins. He seems to have developed a better overall game. He's comfortable in his skin. And this speaks, I think, to the greatness of Steve Kerr. To be able to take a Wiggins, and the guy who has even though he's put up big numbers, historical numbers for a Canadian, but by NBA standards, still has been a disappointment from being the number one draft pick, but Steve Kerr has been able to find that comfort zone to get the most out of Wiggins. Just like Kerr unleashed Thompson and, of course, Curry, he's done the same for Wiggins. So it's just the right fit.
Okay. Yeah, well, would it be better, or will he lose a lot when Klay Thompson's back in there next year?
I think he'll be fine, because I think that makes him even more dangerous, because now the defense is going to have to key on Curry and Thompson. What does that do for a guy like Wiggins on a team that values sharing the ball? Even though you have the top scorer in the NBA, it's an efficient top scorer who will hit you when you're open. So I think Wiggins will benefit from it. I mean, Wiggins is a more talented version of Harrison Barnes. And under Kerr's leadership, he's been able to thrive. And the Warriors are better because of it.
Paul Sir joins us from Basketball Show Podcast, a former player in Europe. And Paul, you look at these teams now, and Phoenix, Coach of the Year, I think well-deserved for sure. Not a lot of people thought the Suns, although maybe last year in the bubble was a prelude to what they were going to be, because they went in there and went 8-0, and even though that didn't get them into the postseason, it definitely is something that they've carried over to this season. Only the Utah Jazz had more wins than the Suns. So if you look at the Jazz and the Suns and the Nuggets and the Clippers, they're top four teams, so they all have home floor advantage. Which one of them do you think is most likely to potentially get upset? And on the other side, which of those four teams do you like the best to go the deepest?
Oh, those are great questions. Wow. Number one, I think probably Denver. If you have to look at Denver, they would be the one that I could see them going down to Portland, because Portland's playing well. And Portland is a nice team. They have good balance on their team, where Denver has relied so heavily on Jokic's greatness, and he has been great. And they've had to rely so much on that since Jamal Murray has gone down that he had to literally carry them on his back. Utah is the one that I'm curious about, because I can see them certainly winning the first round. My God, they better against either Memphis or San Antonio. But I don't know about the history. The history isn't great for the Jazz, and they've had a season of dominance. It's been pretty easy for them, and they've done it shooting the three. And so you get into a seven-game series, Jason, you can start doing things to alter the comfort zone over a period of games if the team isn't so vastly superior in terms of talent. And the Jazz in the second round playing against the Clippers, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to look at. I do look for the Clippers to beat Dallas, although, again, if I'm going to get into my homer side, I really want to see Dallas beat the Clippers. With Porzingis healthy, with Doncic having another great season, it would be fun to see them emerge, I think, and I'm just not a Clippers guy. So, anyway, I think those would be my picks. I think Denver can go down, but I love Phoenix. I love Phoenix. They could be the one that ends up battling to go into the NBA Finals and maybe even getting into the Finals. It's going to be real interesting to see how Booker and Ayton perform in the playoffs. I have no doubt Chris Paul is going to be great, but can those two young players be the ones that really make the breakthrough? If they can, they're going to be a real tough team to beat.
Well, you know what? If the Lakers win, then they're going to play the Lakers in the first round. And then the Utah Jazz could take the Warriors, because the Warriors would have to lose to the Lakers and then lose to the winner of the Grizzlies or the Spurs to avoid making the playoffs. So it'll be fantastic stuff. Paul, always good to catch up with you. We appreciate it. Enjoy the play-in round and then the subsequent playoffs after that. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.